Welcome everyone to the Music Teacher Survival Guide by Musico. I'm musician and educator Dr. Nick Parnell, and on today's episode we get to the bottom of exactly what happened at Oboda 2023, the South Australian Schools Bands Festival. I chat to many of the performers, the students, band directors, and of course, no festival is complete without a little bit of drama.
We had a bit of trouble getting here. Our bus was late getting to school, and then there was like a 3-car pile up, and we had to negotiate, a bit of a traffic jam, so it was a little bit of a rush, but we got there. It's good to be back.
I started off by tracking down Daryl Pope, OIM, one of the key forces behind Oboda. I found him amongst hordes of students ushering bands on and off stage, but I got a moment to ask him what the take-up rate had been for this year's festival.
The festival this year has been extremely popular, almost oversubscribed. We have 138 ensembles across the stage in 3 days.
It's fantastic, and that's been far greater than other years, hasn't it?
It's been creeping up incrementally over the last 3 or 4 years, but in our current format, we've absolutely hit the limit at the moment.
And how do you feel the energy and excitement levels have been this year?
Well, what's good about it from being here all day over the 3 days is you see the excitement and the adrenaline from the students, a little bit of nervous anticipation before they go on, but the adrenaline and the chat when they come off tells you that they've enjoyed the experience.
And you've had some quite high-profile judges, isn't it?
I always try and secure at least some adjudicators from interstate and occasionally overseas, because Adelaide being the small town it is, there's too many people know each other all the way, and I don't want to ever be accused of people winning because they're friends of or mates of someone. So we seek to get some independent people from out of town that have arm's length knowledge or referral to anyone.
Now, with so many bands in this year's festival, you may be wondering how on earth do they pull it all together? So I tracked down one of the other organisers, Cassie Pope, and got a bit of an insight.
How's it going so far, Cassie?
It's going really well. What are we? Halfway through day two of a really, really busy, jam-packed 3 days. But no, we've been very lucky. Schedule's been going well, and everyone seems to be enjoying it so far.
And I hear that you are like kind of really the brains behind all the organisation and the timetabling and things like that. Give us a bit of an insight to what's involved in pulling it all together.
So initially we send out, announce that the festival's on, release the dates, and then we get a nice influx of emails of everybody that wants to come along. And this year I think we had somewhere like 140 ensembles register to want to come and attend. So we kind of filter through, organise them into sections, and then we've got to start piecing together just how many of them fit in any given section. So the Intermediate Concert Band Plus section that's on right now started at 2 p.m. and is due to wrap up in another 3 hours or so at 7 p.m. So I think that's our biggest section that we've ever had. So you've got to sit down, look at the schedules, kind of figure out whether they fit into a 15-minute time slot, try and be kind and give the adjudicators a lunch break and a dinner break if they're lucky as well. Kind of wrap it up in a spreadsheet, send it out and hope everyone's okay with it. For whatever reason, I think everybody's super keen to get back involved this year. We've got some schools with even as many as 11 ensembles from their school over the 3 days. Plenty of schools with 8 or 9 ensembles as well, so they really keep us busy.
Mm. And what's been the vibe that you've noticed so far? Like, how are people feeling being here?
Vibe's always really good. I think particularly now that Westminster have their new music centre and now that the foyer's been refurbished as well, everyone always comes and likes to have a bit of a sticky beak, a bit of a look around, and it's really nice to be in such a fantastic venue as well. So a big thank you to Westminster for always hosting us. But the vibe's always really good. The kids seem to be in good spirits and enjoying their performances, and it's always nice to catch up with colleagues and friends from, you know, different parts of the world.
Yeah. What's the craziest last-minute request you've had from a school?
Ooh. Oh, it's normally percussion things. You know this, you know how
yeah,
it goes.
Yeah, that's right.
They're always percussion requests, checking if we got enough keys on the marimba and things like that, or checking the height of the double bass stools are adequate. It's a couple of things like that. But no, it's been pretty low on requests this year, so everybody seems really organised. So it's going
great. Thanks so much, Cassie. Good luck with the rest of the festival.
My pleasure. Thank you.
After chatting to Cassie, I then noticed a group of students loitering, eating bananas. So I thought I'd best go and investigate.
Okay, so I'm here with some students from Temple. Guys, how did you find the experience of performing?
It's fun. Playing in a big, almost stadium-like kind of thing is harder when you've practiced in a... And it's really good stuff for us to practice so we can get better. And practicing in big, open-air, kind of stadium-like places
What about you guys? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. Lots of fun. It's a pretty good competition.
Did you muck up at all, or did you get it all good?
A few times. Yeah. A few times. Okay. But, no, it was a lot of fun. Even with the muck-ups, it's just a lot of fun.
So I'm here with some students from Pulteney Grammar, and you guys have just come off stage. And so how did the performance go, guys?
Yeah, it was. I think it went really well. Our dynamics really sound a lot better in Westminster's Hall because it's so big and new and nice compared to our hall back at home. But it went well. Yeah, what do you think, Sarah?
Yeah, it was pretty nerve-wracking warming up and, you know, just getting into the zone for the performance. But once we stepped out on stage and just felt the room and started playing, it was amazing playing in Westminster's Hall. It's just a beautiful sound. And to be able to play to other people and show what we've been working on this whole year is a really amazing experience.
And so has it been the whole year you've been working on the repertoire?
Yeah, I'd say so.
We played one of those songs for this year and the other one for a year.
Right.
We do work on a lot of other things at the same time, so it's not been solely focused on the competition, but we have these pieces for a while, so we're really able to build up our skills.
And were you guys nervous before you went on stage?
To a degree, yeah. I mean, I know we're going to win, so.
Right, okay. Nervous. Good. It's good to be confident, isn't it?
It can be quite nerve-wracking because you've been playing it so well and you just want to hope that everything goes okay. And there will be mistakes. Mistakes will happen, but you've just got to keep pushing through and make sure that you can keep going with the rest of the piece because the music doesn't stop for you.
That's true. Yeah, great. Well done, guys, and I hope the results go your way.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Dr. Nick Parnell here. Just a quick note for our Australian listeners that the Nick Parnell Percussion Academy is now hiring out high-quality vibraphones and marimbas for personal hire for school students as well as for schools. To order online or find out more, please check out nickparnell.com. Thanks for listening. Now back to the podcast.
Now, with so many groups performing, people often wonder how can the judges fairly compare each of the groups. Well, one of the methods that they use is by having a set piece. Chris Weber is one of the committee members and is also a very talented performer as well as composer. Chris has written one of the set pieces for this year's competition. Here's a little of what he had to say.
I've been involved. My first involvement was as a band director, bringing some of the big bands that I've conducted around the place at Seymour and various other places, Walford. And eventually, I think it was around 2018, Daryl Pope reached out and commissioned me to write the intermediate piece. I wrote a tune called Southern City Shout that year, which I basically told everyone it was just a jigsaw of cliches of the big band style, and it went down really well. So taking the feedback of that piece, this year I was commissioned to write the novice piece for the stage band division, and I took that feedback that people really enjoyed, a melody you can sing along with, something that's not too complex, but does allows the students to sight read it to some degree, but has a lot of scope for the directors to work with them over a term or so to really get the nuances and the ensemble playing side of things happening. So this year I was it was my privilege to write Broken Hip Blues, which is the novice piece.
And have any of your students been actually learning that piece for the festival this year?
Yeah, so for me, when it was my previous iteration as a tutor, I was very busy, and Southern City Shout, the first one I was commissioned with, I was working with lots of students on trumpet and trombone, learning my own piece, which was great. This time around, I've got a few kids I've been working on with the Broken Hip Blues, but only a couple, just a handful.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to hear that work tomorrow. And have you got any sense of how the different bands have been finding the piece so far?
So far, I've heard good things that they've liked the fact that it's enjoyable, not too complex. I've had some good feedback that it works well for bands that are incomplete. I did have that in mind when I wrote it. I know a lot of schools with their novice band, they may not have a full trombone section, or they may not have tenor or barry saxes because they might start their kids on alto saxes first. So with that in mind, I've written certain cues and just kept my orchestration with that in mind, not to really rely upon the trombones on their own or the tenor sax and barry sax on their own, but really share the load amongst the lower instruments there with that in mind.
So I guess that's one of the great things about particularly is that that novice section is that if you do have an unusual combination of instruments, is that the idea of the novice section, that that those kind of groups can still be involved but in that particular category?
That is true. Like a lot of schools, that novice band, you have some kids who are just getting their foot in the door in the jazz world, and often the school doesn't have the depth to have a complete band at that point. So they may have one or two of the senior bands, or maybe like my school, just one. And that novice band, you might even have kids coming in on French horn. Often it's quite common for there to be an alternative second trombone part written in for F horn. So I've done that as well. I've also included clarinet and flute parts, which I can't remember the logic behind the way I worked with them, but often the flute will follow the trumpet, and at times I might put it with the saxes. So I also was reached out to by a sax teacher at one of the schools who said, "Hey Chris, this is a bit unusual, but we don't really have any trumpets in our big band. Can you just send me a couple of E-flat copies of the trumpet parts?" And I was quite happy to do that for him. So yeah. As you said, it really is a chance for novice bands or incomplete bands to step in and be involved making big band music.
Next, I was able to track down some of the band directors and have a chat to them.
I'm here with Sam Locke. And Sam, why do you get the students involved in a Bodo?
We love the opportunity. It's a performance opportunity. We're not necessarily competitive in that that's the goal, but obviously that's a great motivation. But in particular, it just really brings about a great sense of team, and it gives them something to work towards. What we did this year, which was new, is we actually tied it in with our Year 7 music curriculum, who look at the instruments of the orchestra. And so we did a workbook for them and brought them as an audience. So they've come and watched, and they're writing little reviews as well as doing some worksheets on it. So it's just a really great integrated learning opportunity for the skills of our percussionists and our string players, but also for our students as well.
My name is Ian Both, and I'm conducting the senior concert band from Christian Brothers College.
And Ian, why do you go to the effort of bringing the band here to a Bodo?
It's a good chance to challenge the band by getting our selected piece that we have to try and get right, but also it brings a sense of urgency because there's a deadline that we have to reach, and therefore we have to work harder towards to meet that deadline.
Yeah. How do you find that the students find the experience? Do they enjoy it, or are they petrified by it?
I think Christian Brothers College Senior Concert Band, this is the first time many of them have performed in a Bodo, so there's that fear of the unknown, I think. So I've tried to prepare them as well as I can about it being a bigger hall than the band room, and how they have to get the sound and just keep it even. And so all the things I can to prepare them, but I think it will be afterwards that they'll ask them about the experience.
Yeah, great. And so you're about to go on stage in a few moments by the looks of it. And how are you feeling?
Good, confident.
How do you reckon the students are feeling?
Probably they'll start to feel a little nervous, which is what we expect, to be on top of things. We had a rehearsal, our final rehearsal, and that went really well. There were still a couple of things that people know they could just do that a little bit better, but we're musicians, we're perfectionists, so we're always wanting to do better.
Yeah, great. All right, best of luck, Ian. Thanks.
Thanks, Nick.
And of course, with every competition, it wouldn't be a true competition without a little bit of drama.
All right, so I'm here with a couple of the teachers from St. Scales. Sally, how'd it go?
It went really well. I had a drummer fall sick yesterday, so I put a new drummer in literally today, and we ran it in home group, and she just played beautifully. So that was my concern. And she was a roasting challenge, so thank goodness.
Awesome. Robert, what about from your perspective?
Well, I brought them all here on the bus, and the bus was running late, and it was raining.
So it was your fault?
Yes, it was my fault, and there was a car accident as well, so which was not nice. But anyway, we got here a little bit late, but they still went on with probably any warm-up time and smashed it.
So there we have it, everyone. That's a wrap for Bodo 2023. Congratulations to all the organisers and the schools involved. If you'd like to hear more episodes from the Music Teacher Survival Guide, please head over to musico.com, spelt musikko.com, or you can also find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
This episode was sponsored by the Nick Parnell Percussion Academy, which specializes in providing high quality marimbas and vibraphones for schools and students. You can find out more at nickparnell.com. To end the episode today, please enjoy a performance by one of the Concordia string groups. Thanks for listening, everyone. See you next time.